Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
It ain't about what you want or I find them attraction. I done found my soulmate. How you gonna call that your soulmate they already married? That's a lie. The devil is a lie. You got to put family above all that stuff. Family matters. Your children matters. Your legacy matters. Your name matters. Your reputation matters more than your little feelings about somebody that turns you on and y'all got a lot in common. The hell with that.
Oh, my. It's going to be on and popping tonight. That's Pastor Keith Battle of Zion Church in Landover delivering a sermon based on his new book, Side Chickology, Why Men and Women Cheat, Understanding, Avoiding, and Recovering from Infidelity. It's a taboo subject for taboo actions done in the dark, and Pastor Battle is bringing it into the light. And tonight we're going to shine a light on this issue on infidelity and hopefully help people who are struggling with it. Pastor Battle is in studio and the lines are open. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Pastor, how you doing?
I'm great, man. Thanks for having me.
Getting any sleep lately?
Nah, it's
not,
been
not a whole lot.
It's been a lot. It's been a lot going on.
Define side chickology.
So a side chick is a mistress. It's a chick on the side. It's not just women who cheat. It's men who cheat too. So they could be a side slick. And
a side slick.
Yeah, that's the dude.
Oh, okay.
Side chick and a side slick.
Okay. That's the,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So the ology is the study of anything. I've taken the time to study the subject. And so to watch the pathology of infidelity, how people, even in committed relationships, whether they're married or not, just what leads them to crossing the line, breaking trust, those kinds of things. What kind of symptoms are there to make you know if crossing the line is imminent? Why it happens? Why people even get in a relationship without the intention of being unfaithful, but they end up being unfaithful? So, you know, I've taken a long time to look at it. I've experienced it. I've crossed the line myself. I've lived it. I know what it's like to be hiding and cheating and hiding my phone and all that stuff. So that's what the concept is. It's really about.
How do you study this?
So the way I'm wired, I tend to process my own behavior. Like, I like to know why I did stuff. Because if I know why I did it, then I'm less likely to repeat it. Some things I just do, it's just impulsive. Like, I like donuts. Like, I just like donuts. So I just go get them. If I see one, I'm getting it. But when I slow down and watch the film of what led to my stepping out and being unfaithful, what was going on? What were the dynamics in my relationship? And as I've counseled people the last 30 years being in ministry, I see the same pattern. There's a pattern that leads people, because I think people just say, oh, he cheated or she cheated. That's wrong. Why? Why did they cheat? What was going on in the relationship that made it vulnerable to that kind of behavior? What are some of the consistencies? What are some of the systemic things that you can follow that almost to a T always happen? Here's the pattern. I was curious about the subject. Because it was so prevalent, and like you said, it's taboo. People don't want to talk about it. Because bringing it into the light is actually to expose it.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be surprised how many people don't want to talk about this. They don't talk about this book because they're actively involved in an extramarital relationship, or they're in a dating relationship where they're being unfaithful to the person they're with. So that's what made me literally study it.
Is it different when you compare the why and the how of men and women?
The similarities are this. People are not just looking. Well, here are the differences. As a man, we can cheat and not mean to hurt our wives, not mean. We could actually be in a good mood and the marriage can be relatively decent, but because there's an opportunity, because we're hunters, because we are accomplishment oriented. To get another woman while you got one is almost an accomplishment. It's a notch in the belt. And because we're physically attracted to women, we're visually stimulated, we can be drawn by what we see. A woman typically only gets involved in an affair when her heart leaves the relationship she's in, because she's not, she usually gets emotionally close to a man first. That's the inroad for a man. If he's got game, he's got to get a woman feeling good about him, because her heart and her womb are connected. She opens up her heart, you know, then, because we tend to sexualize our deepest emotional pain or our strongest emotional feelings, it usually leads to sex, but it's not always intended for a woman to sleep with a man. She just feels close to him, and it evolves to that. As men, we typically are, that's the target. The target is the draws mm-hmm. for the man. Like, that's our target. It's like laser. Like mm-hmm. that's the end. We trying to smash somebody. That's the fact. So
speaking of which, one of your sermons, which we took an excerpt from, we heard already. I want you to listen to this and talk to me about this.
Okay. If you're close to a married man and you're a woman, the moment your respect for his wife goes down is the moment you need to move away from that relationship. Whatever the reason. Once you stop valuing her, if you can't value both of them, you don't need to be around either one of them. The moment, let me say something, because your disdain for her is a revelation of your attraction to him.
Talk to me about that.
When that happens, what I call the sisterhood code has been broken. Sisters have a code. They're down for each other. It's International Women's Day. Mm-hmm. Sisters are united. They really are. When that united spirit is broken is whenever a woman has gotten close to a man that she's lost respect for the man's woman. If she loses respect for her, the sisterhood code is broken. So now in the name of comforting this broken man who ended up with a bad woman because he was able to paint a picture of his woman that made him look like a victim, if she loses respect for that woman out of the information she's getting for the man, now an affair is imminent because the sisterhood code is broken. Because what keeps a lot of women from crossing the line is that they're not going to do their sister like that. You know, the brotherhood code is not as strong. The brotherhood code is a little different. It's got to be really our brother. Mm-hmm. Like our brother, our frat brother, our brother, biological brother. Mm-hmm. Brother, but anything other than that, dude, you broke up with her? I'll be calling her Friday. You know, it's like our code is a little different, you know. So you understand what I'm saying,
I
right?
do. Yeah, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking to Pastor Keith Battle of Zion Church. And his book, Side Chickology, Why Men and Women Cheat, Understanding, Avoiding, and Recovering from Infidelity. Are women more efficient at cheating than men?
I think it depends on the woman. So many factors that go into it. So cheating is it's a skill. It requires a lot of hiding, a lot of trickeration, a lot of covering, a lot of planning, a lot of slickness. It's really, really a very deceptive lifestyle, because you have to live in this duplistic space, because nobody actually announces that I'm cheating. The very nature of cheating means I am leaving something undisclosed that I'm actually actively engaged in. So there is a skill set to it. There's a protection, because there's danger in it, because you can lose what you're violating, which could be the relationship. You can lose your job. In this world now, people are losing their business, losing opportunities behind it. So I think I don't know if there's gender, if the ability or the skill is based on gender. I think it's based on personality. Mm-hmm. Some people are just naturally not slick. They're just sloppy. They just forget to cover up stuff. Some people are naturally just really cunning. They play cards. They don't make faces when they got good hands. They don't make faces when they got bad hands.
Poker face.
Yeah. I mean, that could be a man or a woman. Some people just personality wise are just not good at covering up their behavior. Mm-hmm. Like, but there are people, man, take showers, who come clean up all their phone messages. They really know how to cover themselves for a significant, because their affairs, they can go on for 10, 15 years. Some of them you don't find out to the person's dead. Mm-hmm. And you're at the funeral and say, well, who are you? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm his daughter. Well, I'm his wife. I'm his girlfriend. Oh, no. I just did a funeral for you. I got to be careful how much I say about this. So at the funeral, so we had to do the funeral and we couldn't. So the viewing was private because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because the discovery process was that this guy had so many. He was cutting up. So the wife just didn't want to experience it at the viewing. So nobody came to, everybody came to the public ceremony, but there was no casket because she didn't want any woman going up and kissing him.
Mm.
That was, you know, she wanted to keep herself in a good space during his ceremony. So, yeah, sometimes you don't find out all the truth until the person's in a casket.
Now, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking with Pastor Keith Battle about his new book, Side Chickology, Why Men and Women Cheat, Understanding, Avoiding, and Recovering from Infidelity. What was the most difficult thing for you in writing this book?
I don't know. I had so much joy in writing it because I felt like I was talking about something that the world needed a conversation around. It needed a transparent conversation, first of all, a conversation that provided tools to help people actually work through this problem and to avoid it going forward. And it needed to be done with a level of not just humor, but seriousness, too. I think the book is balanced. So I enjoyed it because I had the liberty to write it from a place where I was, where I had lived it, but I had also lived on the other side of it and saw the results of rebuilding my marriage after it had been terrible for so long, devastated by infidelity, and then even which made it worse, made a bad marriage bad, but rebuilding it. And so we talk about that, the journey. In fact, in the book, there's a story of infidelity that's thread through the book. And that's just to keep ADD people engaged.
Okay.
Like something hot's going on while you're. So the book is about principles and tools and patterns, but it's also a story on depicting how it all unfolds. So I think the toughest part about writing a book was just taking the time to finish it. You know, it takes so long. It takes so long. And then I think one more tough thing about it, Harold, was when I finished the book, I had three women look at it who are editors from different communities, different parts of the country, different parts of the world who didn't have my background. It wasn't colored by African-Americanism. It wasn't colored even by Christianity. I wanted some women to look at this and say, what do you think of what I wrote? And because I didn't want it to be left brain and male dominant book. And they really helped me find a balance in the book that speaks to both men and women and single and married people that I wouldn't have gotten. That was hard because I wanted to keep some things in the book that was just the way I talk like a man. You say that and all the women are going to shut you down. Mm-hmm. And so that was hard.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let's go quickly to Cindy. Cindy, calling from Virginia. Quickly, Cindy, what's on your mind?
I think once somebody has defiled the marriage and went out and cheated, he's just showed you how far he's willing to go to hurt you, because if he loved you, he wouldn't cheat.
Interesting. Your thoughts about that, Pastor?
Yeah, I understand why Cindy would feel that way, but I really believe that a man can actually love somebody, love his wife, and still cheat. I just don't think it's always just that simple. For example, sometimes the man really loves his wife, but he doesn't feel loved. He doesn't feel valued. He doesn't feel appreciated. And he's traveling a lot and he's away from home and they're not connecting and they're not spending time together. And if that happens over a considerable period of time, he's just vulnerable to a relationship that can go too far. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's always he doesn't love his wife. I don't know if it's always that simple.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. I need to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation about side chickology, why men and women cheat. We're going to talk to Pam calling from Waldorf, Harry calling from D.C., Rick calling from Fort Washington. If you're having difficulty getting through, please keep trying. Of course, as always, we will take phone calls even after 7:30 on Sirius XM channel 141. So please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. More of this conversation on Sirius XM channel 141 in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, Sirius XM Channel 142, HBCU and Sirius XM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM, channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we are talking to Pastor Keith Battle of Zion Church in Landover, Maryland. He is the author of the book, Side Chickology, Why Men and Women Cheat, Understanding, Avoiding, and Recovering from Infidelity. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Pam, calling from Waldorf. Hey, Pam, what's on your mind?
How are you, Harold?
Just fine.
I have a comment for Pastor Battle. I have to agree with you that women, we don't wake up and say, today I'm going to commit adultery. It is a period of things that has transpired over a period of time. And because of that that period of time, things happen. Vulnerability, like you said, non-communication. And I think I have to agree with you. I'm so proud to hear you say that you worked it out. You fixed it. Y'all fixed it. And you continue to build it and not throwing it up in each other's face. And this is an excellent book for a lot of us single women, such as myself, to read, you know, because you can't get caught up in that.
Interesting. Thank you, Pam. What about that? What about the single aspect of it? Because just by, you know, virtue, you know, of, you know, the title, and, you know, you've been married and you're talking about recovering from this.
Mm-hmm.
Is this book for singles as well as married folks?
Absolutely. I spent a lot of time in the book talking to single people about living a healthy single life. And a lot of men who want to be unfaithful tend to choose single women as their targets, and it's because they're safer.
So why are they safer?
They're safer because you don't have to deal with an angry husband who may come looking for you with a shotgun, right? So also they're safer because a lot of single women can be strung along a little longer because one of the moves an adulterer will make is, hey, you know what? One day it always comes down to this. I'm going to leave my wife. Just give me a little time. We need to get a little junior out of high school or whatever it may be. I'm going to leave my wife. And so she's more apt to wait on that because without breaking anything up, if he tells that to a married woman, she's liable to divorce her husband, to blow that up. It brings too much attention to him. So, you know, I always encourage single women, just leave married men alone. If he's not, I'm not even talking about men who are separated. I'm not talking about waiting until he's just separated. Until he's widowed or fully divorced, leave him alone. Because you don't know what can happen to that relationship if you were out of the way. Because a man is not going to work as hard on his marriage if he's got something on the side that's taking care of him. He'll be less frustrated about what's going on at home because he's already got somewhere else to lay his head or to bring his burdens. Somebody's always affirming him. Somebody's taking care of him sexually and all of that. So he doesn't have to work on his marriage because he's got this other outlet. So that's one of the reasons why single women tend to be a greater target. It's more riskier to mess with somebody's wife.
Why do some women prefer to date or to marry men or to be the side chick?
I think it's a mentality. I think if I don't think I'm worth a whole man, I'll take a half a man because there's not a lot of men out here. So I'll have to share him. And I know I have his attention at 1 a.m. I know I have his attention when he's texting me because he ran to the bathroom while he was out with his family. But I'm on his mind. And even when he's in church, when his wife's up shouting, he's saying, I miss you. I
was
really
shouting.
Yeah, I really wish I were with you. And so that makes her feel special because this man is in a marriage, but all he thinks about is me, which is not the truth. But so for some women who are who have a sense of self-worth that doesn't let them feel like they should be solely his. I call it in the book a relief pitcher. It's a relief pitcher's mentality. So in the world of baseball, you have starting pitchers who usually sit in the dugout, and you have relief pitchers who sit in the bullpen. They're not even with the rest of the team. They're out in the outfield, and they're only called upon when the starter's not getting the job done. See what I'm saying? Even when the manager walks to the mound, he doesn't call him by name. He points to his left arm, his right arm. He points to a body part. So I try to tell single women, be careful that you're not a 1:30 a.m. body part booty call because the starter's not getting the job done and the manager wants somebody to give him relief. And when you start looking at it like that, like, tag, that's who I am? Yeah. Yeah, you're a relief pitcher. And I'm saying you have to have a starter's mentality that I'm worth being on. I'm not going to come off the bench. I'm the starter. Mm-hmm. I'm starter material. And you got to have that in your mind. Because if you don't, you'll settle for being somebody's convenience, but not somebody's commitment.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Harry, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Harry. What's on your mind?
I was just telling her that I'm living that life right now. And I tell you, you guys sound like old school. That song, the Clean Up Women, it is not a game.
So what are you going to do about it, Harry?
I mean, it's hard. It's hard because, like he was saying about being a starter, it don't start off like that. It just start off as friends, just being tight, someone to listen to. And all that nagging that you get at home, that's what puts you in the street.
Interesting. What would you tell Harry? I'm assuming you want to stop. You want.
You know what? It's so much damage control. I mean, it just tears up. He said a lot of good things, you know, as far as when you got young kids. You don't want to disappoint them, so you try to make it work. But after so much damage control, it's not much you can do but just pray on it. That's it. That you get out of it the best way you can, whether it's, you know, you just got to stop burning the candle at both ends.
Pastor, what would you briefly share with Harry that would at least get him to fix his issue?
Yeah, first of all, I hope Harry's wife's not listening, so that's what I first pray. That's our first prayer, right? Harry, I would encourage you to get out of the side chick relationship and not out of your marriage because you have history there, you have children there, you have family, and they need a father that's on post. They need a dad who's faithful, who keeps his vow. And I would encourage you to get some marriage counseling to work on the marriage. Because this other relationship is more of a fantasy. It's not reality. She doesn't have to pay bills with you and raise children with you and do your laundry and smell your breath in the morning. She's your side chick. So she gets to smell you always smell good with her. You're always at your best. But it's exhausting living that kind of life. It really is exhausting. And sometimes it's a blessing to get caught. You know, so you can just be done with it. And rebuild your marriage. I'm a witness that in my own life, my wife has become almost everything that I wanted in a woman, and she was none of that before we started working on it.
Right.
And I think you can have a great marriage if you work on it. So I would encourage you that you do pray that you can get out of that situation because you're going to hurt and destroy your family. See, to me, family is everything, you know?
Right.
And my father left, man. My mother and father were married. They had five marriages between them. So
right.
I'm shattered. I'm fragmented because of that. I wish my mother and father stayed together, that he worked it out, but he didn't have the tools. Yeah.
Harry, thank you so much. Good luck to you. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Rick, calling from Fort Washington. Rick, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing just fine.
And Pastor, God bless you. Listen, I have a thing about that because I'm not going to say everybody, but majority of people cheat, men and women. And there's something wrong with your character when you allow opportunity to control your loyalty. Men and women cheat because of the orgasm and not the sex, not the typical act, but it's the orgasm, because that's one of the best feelings that anybody can experience. And once you experience that, even at a young age, no matter where the male puts his thing at, excuse my expression, the orgasm makes him go back again and again. And when somebody tells them no, he'll go get it somewhere else because he's addicted now.
Let me ask you, thank you, Rick, for sharing that. I want to ask you, in your sermon, and I didn't pull this, you made a comment, Pastor, about Freaky Keisha. And is Rick right as it relates to the sex for both men and women, or is it different?
So I think Rick is right about the big O. Mm-hmm. The big O for men is an orgasm. And a man will search that out in strip clubs, lap dances, porn, masturbation, happy endings in massage parlors. A man does love the release of an orgasm. But the big O for a woman is usually not orgasm, because she doesn't always have an orgasm during sexual intercourse. The big O for a woman is usually oneness. Did I connect with this man? Did we feel connected? And unless a woman is having sex professionally, she really wants to feel intimate with a man, like our hearts touched. And when a woman feels love like that, that's orgasmic for her, mm-hmm. because of the emotional connection and the trust that I have his heart, that he can look me in the eyes while he's making love to me, that he can hold me and talk to me and not run away. Here's how you know when you're with somebody you're not supposed to be with. The sooner you want to get away from her once you have the orgasm is a revelation that you're in an inappropriate relationship. Because when a man has an orgasm with somebody he's not supposed to be with, he's trying to throw his clothes on and get the heck out of there.
Mm-hmm.
He won't make like a shepherd and get the flock out of there, right? I got to go. You know what I'm saying? Hey, and she's saying, where are you going? I got to go. I got to. Mm-hmm. Because we know.
It's
we
over.
Know. But when you're with somebody you love, you stay. Say, thank you, honey. I enjoy my time with you. It's so oneness is a bigger O for a woman, in my opinion. If you know, women love, they love orgasm. You know, it usually doesn't happen as fast or as frequent as with men.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Valerie, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Valerie. What's on your mind?
Hi.
Hi.
I'm calling to say whether you're starting out dating or you're trying to work through that relationship once there's been disloyalty, I just want to recommend that people learn to love each other according to their love language. I know a lot of times men like to be affirmed. They, you know, tell that man, oh, I like that big toe. That big toe is nice. Come here, baby. I like that big toe. They like to hear that you appreciate them, that they're needed. And like the last caller just said, a lot of times women complain a lot. I need you to do this. I need you to do that. And men don't feel appreciated. And I had to learn that the hard way. So my recommendation is when you're starting a relationship or you're trying to work on a relationship, to start learning each other's love language.
Okay. Valerie, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Pastor, you mentioned something earlier and I was really struck by it. You said your wife became everything that you wanted, paraphrasing here, after the infidelity. Mm-hmm. Explain that.
So here's one of the truths about infidelity that nobody wants to talk about, right? And that is, sometimes people don't pay real attention to their spouse until somebody else really does. Mm-hmm. I've seen women who says they would never do it, but they really want to thank the side chick because you woke me up.
Explain that.
You woke me up. You helped me realize what I have before I had to say what I had. You helped me see what I have. You mean there's people that want what I have? Well, let me take a look at what. So I think it was always there for my wife and I to have a good relationship. We just had so many barriers between it. And I didn't know how to be married.
What kind of barriers?
I didn't know how to communicate. I didn't value her opinion. I didn't listen to her. She said I treated her like a lower life form. That was one thing. That's masculine thinking, if we be honest. Just like white supremacy, like white people don't think typically that black people are on their intellectual level many times. A lot of times men will listen to a woman and say, you know, I got this, shorty. I got this. You don't know. You're just being emotional. We're logical. We're thinkers. We know how to problem solve. Let y'all go cook dinner or something. Like, it's kind of that mindset. And I brought a lot of that into our relationship. So I didn't value her opinion because it seemed to be coming from a place that was illogical. It was just always sounding emotional. Like, if she cried, I didn't want to, come on now. Come on. Get yourself together. So I didn't know how to do that. I'd never seen a good marriage. But once we learned how to be married, we started having fun. Started dating. Like, dating is what usually gets people to the altar. But then they get to the altar and they stop dating. I have a friend that says if you stop court, you should start courting your wife so it doesn't end, you don't end up in court.
Or like the thing that you did to get her is the thing that you should do to keep her.
Absolutely.
That's definitely an old one. So afterwards, what kind of conversations? Because I'm still intrigued by the, you know, the what she was as opposed to the what she is now. Was there a change, or was there a change for both of you? How did you get over the hump to the wonderful place that you are now?
I think it's a combination of things, and I think my wife could explain it best. But if
where is she? Let's get her on the phone.
Get her on the phone.
Yeah.
I think if she were to speak, I would genuinely say, I think I can genuinely say that there was something in her that desired to become what I was looking for outside of the marriage, that she was capable of becoming, right? That maybe she didn't know it was necessary to become until I went that far, because I really wanted out.
But
I wanted to leave.
But is that healthy, you know, for her or a you? And
no.
I'm not talking about the infidelity, but I'm just saying, you know, if this is who she is, and then she becomes what you want or what you felt she needed, is that emotionally healthy for her?
So, no, I don't. I think my wife was shut down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was just shut down, so she couldn't become her full, her best version of herself. She was shut down as it related to me, interacting with me. She was very closed because I was very insensitive. And I think when that emotional connection happened, it opened us up to having a better relationship. And I saw a version of her that I hadn't seen since we were dating. Like, we started having fun again. We started being like boyfriend and girlfriend.
Hmm.
Which is really, I think what's really cool is when your wife is your girlfriend and your husband is your boyfriend. Because now we act like people who are having a fling.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the fun of it, you know.
And the kids are grown.
The kids are grown. That's a big issue. I have a whole chapter on that.
Kids
can mess the thing up really bad. Yeah.
Let me go back to the phone lines. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Walter, calling from Northeast. What's on your mind?
Good evening, gentlemen. Pastor Battle, how you doing today?
I'm great, Walter. How are you?
I'm doing all right. You were talking in your book, have you ever talked about the lust?
You said, have I ever talked about lust?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, because you talk about the lust of the eye.
Yeah, lust of the eyes, lust
and
of the flesh.
And the pride of life.
The pride of life. First Timothy 2.
And how,
1 John 2, I'm sorry.
And how David wanted Bathsheba when she was naked.
Yep.
But in order to do that, because he was the king and had authority, he could have got any woman he wanted. Mm-hmm. He wanted Bathsheba. So we know the scheming of it and now the consequences of the affair. And it's damaging because I go back to waiting to exhale, where black women had this so-called empowerment because they felt they were hurt and they want black men to apologize to them because black men hurt them. But as a single black man who has no wife, no girlfriend, no kids, I've been celibate, and I really think that black women who has been hurt by men, they are just saying, if a man could do it, women could do it too.
Well, let me see what the pastor has to say about what you've shared with us, Walter, and thank you so much, Pastor.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not sure what Walter's point is.
What is your point? What are you trying to say here, Walter?
My point is that because of the infidelity and lust, it has always been the nature of not just men but women. But women have been hurt by men, and they doing the exact same thing as men because they felt like they were not getting attention from their husbands, just like the husbands are not getting attention from their wives. But because they supposed to control their bodies, but we lust after something we can't have, but we want to get it anyway without paying that price.
Okay.
So Walter, let me carefully and respectfully challenge you on something. Some years ago, I heard a statement that I have not seen anything to change my thinking on it in agreement to it, and that is every 48 to 72 hours, a man strongly desires a sexual release. It is if he's a human being, he's a man. So much so that if he's not having an orgasm every 48 to 72 hours, sometimes God blesses him and it happens in a dream. It's called a nocturnal dream. And we're just grateful. We don't even know who it was. Just thank you, Lord. Thank you for that breakthrough.
You mean nocturnal emission.
Yeah.
Right.
Thank you for that breakthrough, right? Mm-hmm.
But
hold on, Walter, because I've got a lot of folks. So I want Pastor to make his point.
So, Walter, to that point, if you've been celibate for years as a single man, it is going to be difficult for you to be celibate, let me say this, pure, sexually pure. Celibate simply means I'm not having sexual intercourse. That's what most people believe. I'm not having sexual intercourse with another woman. But what kinds of things are you doing? Because if you're looking at pornography, for example, and you're masturbating to pornography, you're learning to objectify women, which is going to affect the way you connect with a woman when you get with her. And I'm not saying that's the case with you, but it's difficult for a man to be single without having some kind of sexual outlet. And I think that's hurting us as well. And I think we have to pay attention to that because we don't know how to interact with women or connect with them because we're able to have sex without communication, without being financially responsible because we just go to a video and take care of ourselves. But we didn't say we're celibate. And I think a lot of men are saying that.
Walter, thank you so much for your phone call. Robert calling from Oakland, California. Robert, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
This subject is on my mind. And I want to say to the pastor, you brought something that makes me nervous here, okay? Because to speak about this is to expose myself. To call on here and to have the nerve to even just share, I want to say that I am one of the men that you wrote your book about. I'm not proud of it. I have come to a point in my life that I hate what I was, and even to this point of being a real player. I'm not married, but I've been a player for a lot of years. And just this subject here, I have prayed about this, and I've been on my knees, teary eyed, and all, asking the Lord to help me with this. But like one man said, it's an addiction. If it's an addiction, the lust is already there. But I've never been one to lust. I've never been into porno. I've been one that I just had the conversation. I have the intelligence. I'm able to approach a woman and allow her to be comfortable with my presence. And I've just been that man. But over the years of being that man and being able to have women, I have been able to see a woman and tell myself, I'm going to have that woman. And I had that woman.
So Robert, let me ask you, what do you want the pastor to share with you? Because I'm really low on time.
Okay. For one, I'm just thankful that God touched your heart to just bring this out. Because, see, this is a subject that needs to be spoken about, and this is a subject that needs to be ministered in many churches across the land. And last thing, when people testify, they need to stop always wanting, well, I want this clean, edifying testimony. All testimonies aren't meant to be, we want it to be respectful, and we always want it edifying.
Well, let me stop you there, because I'm really low on time. Your thoughts about what he shared with us, Pastor?
Well, Robert, I appreciate your honesty, your transparency, and it is a tough thing to bring out. And I have noticed that some of the brothers are uncomfortable with it, but we got to expose it. You know, we have been trained to be unfaithful to a family since slavery, as black men in particular. Systemically, we've been trained to be non-committed when they first separate us from our families, and even systemically, and if you get support, you can't even get government assistance without somebody coming to your house to make sure there's no man in the house. And so they have trained us to be disconnected from our families. And what we need is to not make America great anymore. We need to make marriage great again. Mm-hmm. We need to raise sons that really want to be husbands and fathers, and cover children and cover women, and not get under the cover with a woman but cover her. Too many women are going in their homes alone at night, but they're men who want to have sex with them, but don't want to make a covenant with them. And I challenge you to rethink it, and not, it's really selfish at the end of the day. I think you would admit, Robert, your lifestyle is selfish because it's all about self-pleasure and conquest.
I only have about 2 minutes left. Mm-hmm. And I think you touched on a lot of this now. How do you fix this situation if the cheating is going on, man or woman?
Mm-hmm.
If your spouse doesn't know, do you stop and tell him or her? Do you after you break it off, if that's what happens? How do you fix that?
So the first thing is, I don't know if you need to tell your spouse, because you have to be careful about what you place on a person's heart and mind. But I think you have to tell somebody who's professional, a counselor, a pastor. So you have to get help, and that help has to be intense and professional enough to help get you out and help keep you out and create boundaries around the relationship so that you can focus on your marriage. Some marriages can recover from infidelity and one of the spouses never know it happened. But somebody needs to know. No, we're only sick as our secrets. I'm not saying go dump everything on your wife. You know, I've been with Susie for 22 years. No, that may not be necessary. It may need to be necessary. You have to tell somebody the whole truth, because you can't be healed hiding. You have to tell somebody the whole truth. But that somebody doesn't always need to be your spouse. It may, not in every case.
Interesting. For those who want to find out, you know, more about either Zion Church or the book, where can they find it online?
So Zion Church, you can go to zionchurch.org and find out all our locations, times of service, etc. The book is on Amazon. You can get it through any of our Zion Church locations if you're in the DMV area. If you're nationally, Zion is available through Amazon. You can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook, Keith Battle, all those places. Okay. Love to connect with you guys.
Pastor Keith Battle, thank you so much for talking to us. I really, really appreciate it. Very enlightening, and hopefully we have been able to help somebody tonight.
Man, thank you. Thank you for
absolutely.
Having me.
I was listening to one of your sermons that you had on there, boy. You're a mess.
But it's good. It's good stuff. It is good stuff.
Some of the clips shock me, man.
Yeah, how about that?
I get wound up. Yeah.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, March 8th. For news director Renee Nash, reporters Taylor Thomas, Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Atkins, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. And don't forget to set your clocks forward 1 hour Saturday night. It is daylight savings time. Now, stay tuned for the connection. Good night and have a wonderful weekend.